Hello everyone, welcome to Darren Matthews and Sometimes Friends, the podcast where I speak to people much more interesting than myself. Please enjoy. And we're off to the races. Terry McHugh, welcome to the podcast, Darren Matthews and Sometimes Friends. How are you?
Very well, thanks for having me.
There you go. All the way from originally North Belfast via the Paradise. The Ulster Riviera that is Tatty Ray. Does it even have a river?
It does. Tatty Ray means something river. Like shitty river, I think.
All the way from shitty river sounds like an Indian reservation, but in Tyrone. But it's where you live.
Could they open a casino? Shitty river casino.
Yeah. All your grumbling for years about not getting to live in North Belfast, and a global pandemic hits, and you're finally grateful that you live in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, it's burning my ass. I don't tell you, like you said, I walked for 3 miles on it and didn't see another smaller human being.
Yeah.
And the thing is, well, I call if anyone's at home with kids, we can just open the door and let them run. There's fields up the back, and like I haven't seen the boys all morning, but I know they haven't come into contact with another person.
Yeah, they're dead on. It'd be hard pressed to get a game of football down there.
More chance of catching front and mouth down here than there is anything else.
That's true as well. Folks, if you're probably familiar with Terry's work as from his tour, Little Strokes of Luck, and before that you may have seen him on tour with Jake O'Kane, and before that you may have seen him in O2 in Oma.
Yes. And it's Mini Strokes of Luck, like we discussed 20 seconds ago.
I know. That's why I wrote Mini Strokes of Luck.
But yeah, saying tiny strokes.
I think I said little strokes. Is the little strokes so sinister? is that tour done, or were you interrupted in any way, or were you?
No, it's done. It's done. We got the last one done in Korean. There was a date, I don't know, but it was literally about because I done that one in Korean. Then me and you done the comedy club in Korean.
Which was the last gig I did as well.
So basically, I was a couple of weeks before it all kicked off. We got that last one squeezed in. And then I just retired it on the internet. Just right, that's it done.
Yeah, that's one of the ones I wanted to talk to you about, because there's a real debate about people saying, can you still do gigs? You know, I come from the school of thought where I don't think comedy exists without an audience. Now, technically speaking, you did have an audience because people were watching you live. How weird was it doing a gig with no feedback as to whether the material works or not?
It's really, really strange. It's almost like at first it was uncomfortable, and then do you know what's weird? When you're doing the Facebook Live thing, down the bottom corner you'll crack a punchline, and then you'll just see this sort of flow of wee smiley faces get up the screen.
And that's how people let you know.
So you're getting some sort of feedback. Now the other thing I was doing was I'm using Zoom as well, so up to 100 people can log in and watch you on Zoom. So you're getting that laughter from them as well.
Okay.
And then, as I say, I've got Trisha and the kids sitting there. Now, the one I've done on Saturday night there, the wee lad, he was in fits. He was doubled over laughing at stuff that he should not have been laughing at.
He didn't know about.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it was one thing I'd done. Something about, that's what it was. It was about Andre's drinking and chatting up wee girls when you were like 13, 14, 15, and he's in fits. And then you're making the odd wee reference, you know, you're making reference, and you're just looking, going, you shouldn't know this stuff. And then you think to yourself, how long when I was 12, I know. but no, man, it's you know what it's like doing that? It's almost like being back at the Edinburgh Festival when you're in a room with four people sitting in front of you. But the only difference is you can...
I was going to say, did it just feel like a really long open mic set, just an hour of nothing?
it's really weird. Like, don't get me wrong, I love doing them, I've enjoyed them, but it's like, it's... Do you know what it is? It's kind of sound ridiculous. In my head, because I've done all that material before, I mean, I've done three of them now. I've done near 5 hours of material in the past month. But because I've done all that material before, and I know where the laughs be, so in my head, I'm just imagining an audience. You know what I mean?
Is that for
but
you? To be honest, like, pause next
time. Aye, that's where the laugh normally is. But to be honest with you, I'd see any set I do. Like, every show I've ever done, every tour I've ever done, I've stood in that kitchen on my own and played the set out. Start to finish anyway.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, I'm treating these ones like that, but I'm sort of going, you know what, this is like, this. I do this anyway, it's just I'm recording it.
Fair enough. Well, it's probably just a different approach to how I work. What sort of feedback have you got? Because, I mean, like last year, I mean, one of the shows you did from ages ago is up on Amazon Prime, and now you're doing Facebook Live. Have you gone multimedia, or are we not seeing you live anymore? You're going to be like a band that only puts out albums and doesn't tour?
No, man. I see all the doing stuff. You know yourself working with me. I don't like doing stuff on YouTube and putting stuff out there and Facebook and all the rest. I don't know. I'm sort of like a generation too late for all that online stuff. To be honest with you, you know what I mean? I have this thing in my head, you know, it's like bands used to go out and tour, and they tour like mad, and they play every gig they could get, and then they went, and you know, and that's what I'm sort of trying to do. So, no, once this is done, man, I can't wait to be back on the stage somewhere.
Yeah. I thought it was funny on the basis that the last gig we did was that gig in Coleraine, and like a month before this all happened, you were like, don't know if I'm going to do this gig anymore. Problem solved. Can't.
Aye. And the thing was as well, I mean, you were standing there on stage, like every comedian was at it, taking the piss out of the whole fucking COVID thing and all. And now you've no stage to go stand. It's just mental.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've been trying to just sort of not bury my head in the sand, but try not to do it, or try not to mention it as much. We did a podcast with the guys from the Fellowship, and I came up with a drinking game because we did it like a Friday night. We were having a few cans. I said that we were going to have keywords you weren't allowed to say during the podcast. And if you did, it was called out by the other members and you had to take a drink. So you couldn't say COVID-19, you couldn't say quarantine, couldn't say lockdown, couldn't say pandemic. Used those words, and it just kind of meant that we pushed away from that material, which was great.
Well, see, that's the other reason I was doing the shows in the kitchen. It was basically a case of, you know, it's, again, it'll sound all X-Factory like, but it's giving something back, you know what I mean? And like people were saying, like people have loved them, people watching them have loved them, and you know, there's one saying like, oh, I look forward to Friday night, I'm getting dressed up in my heels and all on for this. And it just means that for an hour and a half, whatever I'm blathering, if they can just sort of put themselves in a wee bubble. As you say, it's not bury your head in the sand. It's just put yourself in a wee bubble, forget about the word for an hour and a half and just have a laugh. Like, the, you know.
Yeah.
Fair play. And as I say, it keeps me on my toes as well. Because, you know, it means when I go back to it, if we get back to it, it'll be a case of, right, well, I've no material left because I've put it all on the bloody internet. But, you know, at least I've been standing with a microphone in my hand.
I am actually very glad that in the last year or two I've been recording loads of my sets, because I actually sat down the other day and I couldn't tell you one of my own fucking bits.
See, I have a book.
A month and a half and I'm just, well, fuck, I'm rusty already, you know?
I have a book, mate, and I've got every single, it's a couple of books, it's every bit of materials written down, and that's not word for word, like, you know what I mean, but it's got its head, and so like, I flicked through that the other night because I was thinking, right, I've done 3 odd hours before I have to do another one of these. And I've just flicked through that book and I found the stuff about me painting the kitchen duck egg blue and stuff. And then I found the stuff about things my dad used to do to me when I was a child, you know, what I called me mad hitting me with a plate and all that stuff. So I just went, right, well, that's brilliant, and just took it all, stuck it together in the show. So I have a book with it all written down, and then I've recorded every set I've ever done. Because before I started this, I asked the boy for advice. It was an Australian fella, Danny McGinley. You call him, you know him.
Yeah, I met Danny in Melbourne, yeah.
I asked him long before I'd done the first set, this is what you should do. He says, record every set you do. He says, even when you're at it 15 years, he says, record every set you do, just in case you come off the lane off the top of your head. And you know. So I have every set recorded. And it's all, they're all on the laptop. And it's good as well. You can go back and listen to the first ones when you thought you were brilliant. You're in your first 10, like, I'm brilliant, I'm a comedian, and then you sort of listen to the ones you're doing now, and you think, geez, I'm horrible when I started out at this.
It's definitely a change-up, or when you've added a wee bit of fucking skill to the whatever you thought you had. You bring up Danny, which is reminding me about something. I know that you're sort of isolated in the wilds of Tyrone with, you know, your lovely wife and your kids and stuff, but how are you coping without your one true love, Celtic?
It's killing me. Honest to God, darn, it's killing me.
Have you just been watching replays of Glory Days, or what's the story?
No, what I call, see, BBC Scotland's showing replays, and what they have on the other night, they had the 5-1 game when Lubo Muravchik scored his first 2 goals. I mean, I was roaring at the TV, and then they had, when my Bates and Johnson 2-0 last day of the season, they stopped Rangers winning 10 in a row, they had that on, and I sat watched it, like, 1-0 up. Knowing the result, 1-0 up, freaking out, going around the equalise, we've had it there. So I'm watching reruns, man, and I'm a massive, I love Celtic, but I didn't realise just how much I would miss them. It's horrible.
And it's weird. I mean, I never really get into the closest I got to getting into Scottish football was I was given a secondhand 1988 Celtic away top by my older brother, which had previously been owned by a cousin because in the 80s, everyone was apparently a fucking refugee. So I get handed this. So that's as close to Scottish. I never really got it. I remember watching Scottish football and just being like,
is that the yellow shirt?
Yellow one, yeah, C.R. Smith.
Celtic cross on it?
I think so, yeah.
Still have it?
I think it might be in Mama's, but it's ripped the fuck, like.
Ah, right, so it's worth money.
Yeah, the C.R. Smith.
I still have my first ever Celtic shirt, basically.
What year was that from? Is this like the first one you bought yourself?
No, it's the first one I ever got.
Oh, wow. What year was that?
That's the 1988 one. That's the centenary year.
Oh, Jesus, there you go. Well, then I had the fucking away top of that. That's so, even though I barely watched a fucking Celtic match in my life. Do you know one time I really got behind Celtic? When I was living in Toronto, Canada, and they were showing a Celtic Rangers match, and we had been out the night before and found out that the Celtic Supporters Club were able to get into the bar at 7:30 in the morning because of the 12 o'clock kickoff here.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which means that it was 7:30. So we were coming home and went to watch the Celtic game and we're having pints at 8 in the morning. Unbelievable.
So I call up Trish, she doesn't get it. I'm sitting watching these reruns and she's like, but Terry, you know the result. What are you like? I watched Beat Hibs in the Cup 5-2 the other year, and I watched that. And like, I was screaming at James Forrest for not tracking back, and you know, and
in a game you've already watched and know the score.
I've already watched it. Oh, go look at what he's doing. It's what he called Scott Brown went in for a 50-50 and he went in a wee bit easy. I was like, what are you doing, you lapper? And then I know we'll win this game. I'm sitting screaming at Scott Brown. He's going to score 2 goals before this match is out. Yeah. I got obsessed. She's just sitting looking at me going, like, what's wrong with you? Like,
yeah.
And she asked me, she said, if me and the kids moved out, she says, who would you miss more? And I went, you don't want the answer to that question. I missed the first dance because I was watching the Celtic game.
Really?
We get married on Wednesday. We get married on my brother's birthday. And it was Wednesday night. And we're playing Dundee in the league. And I found this wee front bar in the hotel. And I've been back to that hotel and I can't find this front bar. And I was in it recently. And because we're thinking about doing a gig out. And I was talking to her. And I says, listen, I get married in here. We had a reception in here. It was in that room there. And I found a wee small side bar. I says, where is it? And she goes, I don't know what you're talking about. So I think I found a Narnia or something.
Did you get married in the hotel from The Shining? Maybe that's what happened.
Sometimes feels like it, to be honest.
Yeah, that bar wasn't there at all. It was just fun.
I don't know what's the call. I don't know. I sat there watching the game and her uncle came in and I was just sitting there on my own having a cigar and a beer watching Celtic. We're 5-2 up, they come in, he says, they've called you for your first dance. And I was like, ah, it's then on. And I told him, I says, tell us 20 minutes has left. I says, give me a shout and I'll be out then. So I first dance they called twice, then the phone, and then I told him to wait 20 minutes.
Fair enough.
I'm missing Celtic.
And you're not divorced yet, so you're not doing too bad. I was talking to you before, obviously at Coleraine, and you were talking about, because you'd had a very busy time doing the opening for Jake, doing your own tour, and then tidying this up. So you were planning on taking a bit of a break. So was this fortuitous? Is this still within your holiday, or were you supposed to be back gigging?
Well, no, because I wrapped up. It was the last week of March. That's where I was sort of aiming for, because I'm flat out of work as well, you see. So the last week of March was what I was gunning for, because I had a week off, annual leave of work, and that's when the break's going to start, and I'm not doing another gig until, I was in my head, I was sort of thinking September 10th.
You could be right.
I know, but I was going to do the odd. We won't just dip in here and there and do the odd. We open mic and that. I was like, right. So basically, from the end of March, so start of April to September, I'm just going to write. And then, so I said to you as well, I was thinking of retiring everything.
Yeah.
And starting from scratch again. So that's kind of what I've done, putting them shows on Facebook. I've done not every bit of material, another couple of hours I could do, like, but that's it. That stuff's all retired. So when we get back, it could be open mics and trying new stuff.
Well, you can go. You can come and do my 2 gigs if you want to have a proper rattle at it. Like,
all right, no, because you've got the what do you call it going as well, haven't you? What do you call it? Sunflower.
Sunflower. You could do the sunflower and go up to your ma's for dinner beforehand. I look at you.
I see. They'll go on the radio and go, I like gigging with Darren Matthews. I get to stay in his house.
I
never let you forget that.
I have that written down that you're going to bring that up. Right. Matt, do you want to tell a story or will I? Because it's a good story for a podcast.
Yeah, you tell your version of it.
No, you tell your where was it before? Because I've obviously forgotten.
It was the Brass Monkey up in Newry.
Yes.
It was the first one, right?
Oh, so that's Dar's on the Harry, that's about Dar's 5 years ago. Get the fuck over it, would you?
No. Oh, there's another thing I'm going to mention as well.
And you know the Brass Monkey first. I've obviously sank you twice.
Brass Monkey, Dark was on the radio and he says, right, all right, lads, I'm going to mention you on the radio, bloody, bloody, blah. So he says about Terry Keyes was on that gig, Aaron McCann was on that gig, and I was on that gig. So on the radio, you said, Terry Keyes, he runs Daly's Comedy Club, oh, he's brilliant, he's really, really funny. Aaron McCann, oh, he's a new, exciting, upcoming comedian, he's really, really good. And then there's Terry McHugh. I stay in his house when I do gigs in Oma.
Not a lie, I do.
Not a lie. You then said, and this is the first night of the comedy club, and what we're going to do is, as it goes on, we're going to get better comedians.
Did I say that?
Yes.
Jesus. Well, I can tell you now, that is not what happened.
That's exactly what happened.
No. What happened was that night was going really well, and then the manager who was backing me left the bar.
I was a crack on me, I got through. I enjoyed that gig, didn't I? Everyone's sitting there going, there's the fella he stays with when he's in Oma.
Yeah, you're not even from... That's why I stay with you, because you're not fucking from Oma.
I'm one of the decent humans down here.
Exactly. Not too bad. So, I know you were saying you were only going to drop in and do open mics or not do anything until September. Are you writing? Because I'm going to tell you now, I haven't written fuck all. I was expecting this epiphany, but nothing's been happening, yeah. And all of my stories come from me going places.
Yeah, exactly.
What has to happen to me for me to be able to write about it?
I'm the exact same. Like, I was doing a bit the other night about the wee lad getting Lego stuck up his nose. When we finished the thing, I got a bunch of people on the... I just put up a thank you message on the Facebook page. A bunch of people coming back going, is the Lego bit true? Is the Lego bit true? So a video of Dar Patrick saying, yes, I stuck the Lego up my nose and I don't know why, and blah, blah, blah. I'm saying, one, there has to be an element of truth in everything I'm talking about, you know what I mean? And like, I'm literally sitting around in the house, so I'll be honest, man, I have not written. I've got, the one day I sat down, and I've got 3 pages, but none of it's bits, you know what I mean? It's like wee one-liners here and there, and things could drop in. I know, things could drop in as a tag, but there's, you know, there's nothing, there's no solid bits, and that's the thing. There's people saying, oh, you know, at the end of this, you should have a new skill, or you should be able to play the guitar like Steve Vai, or you should, you know, it's like, if you're not, like, there's nothing, as you say, there's nothing to write about.
Yeah, I've been spending my time. Although I may not be a better comedian, I'm fucking really good at Call of Duty now.
I'm brilliant at Pro Evil.
Oh, Jesus. What year is it for fuck's sake, Pro Evil?
20, it is. But Celtic Park's not.
All right, I was going to say Pro Evo 20. I mean, it's like Pro Evo was World Cup 98, that one.
For years, I've been playing FIFA going, oh, they should put Celtic Park in this, should put Celtic Park in this. And then this year, Pro Evo stuck Celtic Park in it. So I've jumped from FIFA to Pro Evo.
You'd go spend 50 quid to play as the Glasgow Greens, like, because it can't
exactly
the license.
But no, the license not Celtic. And Rangers in it as well, so that's always nice to beat them. And then United's in it. Then it's Manchester Blue and Merseyside Red, so they haven't got all the laces.
Definitely.
But Pro Evo, I'm doing that. And again, though, I said I was going to pick up the guitar and stuff. The guitar sat there getting our dust the whole time, too.
True. Well, I went and acquired secondhand a wee electronic drum kit. Was that a necessary journey? Was it fuck? But I got one. So.
But you got that. Just like me, I ordered to do. I think my postman's falling out because, like, I've got that Beer 52 thing. That you have thing you do as well. It's the Beer 52 you do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, God love him, you know, he's laying a box of beer for me. And then the last box had this salted caramel stout thing in it. And it was lovely. So we ordered 24 tins of that. It was brilliant. €60. It was €60, but I thought to myself, that's the money I've saved on petrol, not going anywhere. You know what I mean? So yeah. I'll buy some Terry fuel. And so then he's back a week later with another big box of beer, and you can see him looking at me going, this isn't essential, and you're putting me to work for crates of beer.
Yeah. I've been getting that beer for a wee while, and sometimes the postie will drop it off, and when they know what it is, they're like, can I have one?
I almost felt like saying to him, just you keep that, you know, because you're out there working and doing the, like, keeping the world taken over. Just you take that away with you.
Stick one in your pocket, son.
I'm not that good. Well, I'm looking here, and like, genuinely, there's nothing in this. Like, when I wrote these things down 5 weeks ago, it was all lethal.
Don't go back and read your own stuff. I just lose all faith in myself as a comic when I read something back a week later and go, well, you should quit. Just quit now.
I've got this. This is some of my best work. I live so rural that the locals think broadband is a fat version of the Chieftains.
Have you just written a culty your mama joke? You have, haven't you?
I got
off. Fuck's sake. See, Kerry, this is the way I say that you're the guy who lets me stay in his house when I'm in Oma, not he's one of the most prolific comedy writers I know.
Yeah. I wouldn't even admit to knowing me, to be honest with you. No. Here's one. Trisha gives off about me having 7 guitars, and she always says he can only play 1 guitar at a time. I could say the same about the kids, but she's still got 3.
Jesus, man.
It's a good joke.
Oh, no, it is a good joke, as long as people know it's a joke. Okay, I'm laughing at that because I know your family and your kids are lovely and your wife's lovely, but I'm just like, I wonder what anybody thinks the wrong way.
My kids are dicks. See, the 9-year-old asked, what sex? I said, ask your mother. He says, I did. She said, it's one big, great big disappointment.
Here, you can't be that bad at it. At least you've got 3 definite goals.
See, that was the joke I'd done the other night. I could stop coming out of Belfast one night. And this was a weird thing, I was doing like wee bits of sort of material that I've thought about but never done before. I thought, I'll do it to nobody. But no, I could stop coming out of Belfast one night, and the cop says to me, says, one of your headlights is out. And I immediately jumped over to open the glove compartment because I had a spare bulb in there. And it was only afterwards I thought to myself, I'd done this in the mid-90s, you know, a cop stops, you jump for the glove compartment, you know, you weren't getting home. So I pulled out the light, pulled out the spare bulb. And I says, oh, it's all right, I've got a spare, I'll fix it here. And she says to me, she says, I love a man who always comes prepared. And I says to her, I says, no harm to love. If I always came prepared, I wouldn't have 3 kids. I might quit. My 12-year-old pissed himself laughing a bit.
That's okay.
I'm not sure it is.
Well, no, I mean, it's good to know. Like, you're like me, Terry. I mean, you're from a Catholic household. We're all mistakes. It's fine. Once you put your mind to that, you're all right. You can get on with your life. That you're not supposed to be here in the first place. It's fine. So I mean, you're okay. You've lots of wide open spaces. I'm delighted. I'm in Belfast and I have a garden. But sometimes I would probably rather be isolated down where I'm from. A few less people.
No, but It is handy. Like, I do, like, you know, I always get awkward living here. Because, look, down here I'll never be home. It's just it's where I am.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, even it's the morbid conversations me and Trisha have. I've ever warned, when I die, you get to send me back to Belfast. Like, you know what I mean?
She'll be happy to. She might be the one who kills you.
it's the first time I've ever appreciated what we have down here. Like, don't get me wrong, when this is all over, I'll hate it again. But right now, it's like, oh, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I kick a football the other day. I haven't kicked a football in years.
Well, I mean,
then I hit the...
What did you say?
I hit the window and she hit the head of me.
Well, there you go. It's just like living in Belfast. If you hit somebody else's window, they'd come out to you too.
No, she came out and started shouting at me. Oh, I'm just standing there going, 40 years of age, and I'm sitting here getting shouted at by some woman because I hit her window with a ball.
Just like home.
I need help.
But, well, I mean, obviously, you're down there and you have a bit of fucking space about the place, which is great. And as I said, I mean, I found it difficult to find your house with a GPS and a Sherpa. So you're doing okay. To bring a fucking donkey and a backpack to get to your place one time.
It really is the middle of nowhere, though, isn't it?
It's funny as fuck, because that time you were like, there's a wee, what did you say to me? There's a wee bit of a rough road. It was like a fucking stage of the Circuit of Ireland.
It's like driving on the moon.
Yeah. There's people from Donegal that think that's a bad road. Do you know what I mean?
Look at two pubs.
I know.
With two pubs. There's a restaurant down here now has a Michelin star chef.
No. That's a lad used to work down in the tire place. That's different Michelin. You've got that.
Big fancy restaurant, like big. It's all fancy. He's got all the fanciness, and it's like the kind of place that I walk into, I would leave again because I'd feel like I didn't belong there. You know what I mean? And he's got that, but he's got the front bar. So when all these people are in having their, you know, £50 meals, with the look over and they can see old Francie, you know, in his freaking boiler suit, cake and fucking slurry, having his fucking after work pint. Sweet, big fancy restaurant, big fancy pub, and then the club around the corner.
I love the idea of that restaurant because no locals are eating in it. It's all like diesel smugglers from Monaghan up treating.
We're running buses out there, man.
I'd say they are.
That's... Buses from the town out there. We must go out to Talleyrand and have our dinner. He's like.
all that fresh air and the smell of slurry. Unreal.
Right. So there's your steak. How do you make your steak? I'm not sat next to some fucker caked in cow shit.
Yeah. So you're getting on okay. Is everybody sort of behaving themselves? I mean, like Trish is a school teacher. Has she been teaching from home? I see is she teaching your kids or is that your job now?
No, I tried doing it for the first few weeks, but it didn't work out. It's like it was put this way. The other day, Erin was sitting, she's working away, and she had her pencil case sitting there, and I went and sat beside her and then took her pencil case and tipped everything out onto the floor. And then Patrick, he's doing this, he's to do a thing online, but he has to put his name in every day, and every day I'm saying, put your name in his Luke Skywalker, put your name in his Miss Chinander Bong. I'm like the bad child in the classroom. You know, just distracting them and irritating them, and that's, Trisha just went, no, Terry, I do this. So she's doing the homeschooling, I'm not allowed in the room when she's doing it, and then she's uploading work for her own kids and doing videos for her own kids and all the rest. So she is a lot out. But I'm not allowed to do the homeschooling. I'm not allowed in the room. Like, Michael asked me the other day, he said, Daddy, I need help with my Spanish homework. And I'm looking at him going, son, unless it's ordering around or calling someone a son of a bitch, I am of no help to you whatsoever here. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, don't get me wrong, 15 minutes later, you can order around and call the barman a son of a bitch. But, you know, I'm not doing any of it. Trish is doing all of it for a player. Like, but she's flat out, once she is flat out.
Gotta love that. No hablo español. Dos cervezas, por favor.
Dos cervezas, por favor. I told him how to call his teacher a stupid donkey.
Oh, dear.
And he was like, I just go on like, but again, I was immediately going, write that, go on, send him that, because they're on this thing called Teams. You can send a teacher's messages and all the rest.
Oh, yeah.
I just go and tell him, your daddy says he's a cabron. He goes, what does that mean? I says, tell him, and he'll soon find out. But he won't do it. He's like, you're no crack.
Yeah, I feel like I got caught out by that one time. I went to the Gaeltacht in second year, and I asked one of the boys how to say something. He went to the Bunskull, so he was a fluent Irish speaker. Right. And I said to him, how do I say, like, thanks for the dinner and all that stuff? And he told me, and when I went up, I went to the Ban and Tea, the woman who runs the house, handed him a plate, and I called her an idiot in Irish. That's a fucking true story, because wee lad Connor from my school was like, this is how you say that. Because he was once fell on her down in Newry, and I was like, absolute bastard.
Tell me, was the Gaeltacht all Raiden and Barry's dancing? Or what did you? I never went.
I went in second year, so I was probably a bit young for that. Them sort of shenanigans.
You see, us Belfast ones were drinking and Raiden in second year.
Yeah, I was going to say, fucking teen pregnancies every fucking July and August. Yeah, where were you conceived? In a graveyard. Classic. Yeah.
No, because Aaron was meant to go to the Gaeltacht this year, and then obviously that got scuppered, like, you know what I mean? But I was steady to her. She's 15 and a half now. And, like, I know what I was getting up to when I was 15 and a half. And that's how sense. I don't really know if I want you going to the Gaeltacht, you know? And she's like, why? And you can't turn around and go because it's all raining and drinking. So I was like, it's too expensive. And she was like, Mummy's already paid for it. I was like, ah.
Here, that's an odd thing. I was only allowed to go off and paid for it myself. I was cutting gardens and doing all sorts of shit for about fucking 4 months. And it was only 130 quid.
I was like, because North Secondary School was a German trip every year. And I wanted to go on a German trip. that's what Matt says. He says, you'll pay for it yourself. Like, and I went out, I was doing the same, I was cutting gardens and washing cars, and then any money, the odd bit of pocket money, my man Dagan, he was putting this jar and all the rest. And I think I got about 270 quid. And then went, you know what? I've got a German trip. I've got 270 quid. I'm away to Leisureworld.
Priorities.
Ah, fuck's sake. And then with that, I was like, we've lost our £70 deposit. I was like, well, there you go. I'll give you that back. £310. I'm away to Toy Shop.
Yeah. Well, I had them. We didn't have, I don't think there was a German trip. There was always, I think there was a French trip. And then there was a ski trip every year from my high school. But of course, fuck, we couldn't afford to go to any of those. My brother went to the ski trip one year in like fifth or sixth year. But then, well, I mean, one of the main problems with this fucking coronavirus thing was bastards going on ski trips.
Bastards going on ski trips. I never liked them bastards anyway. I remember our ski trips. You'd look at the ones going. There was all the boys whose fucking dads were doctors and fucking solicitors and all that shit.
I know. But that's what I was saying. I was just like, I was like, when this is all over, the middle classes need a fucking word.
Did you see there was a newspaper, the thing in the paper I seen, oh man, see when you just read something, if you were in front of me at the rally, this woman, she was like, oh, it's terrible, me and 27 of my friends were meant to be going to a ski lodge, why we can't go, and blah, and she was cursing everybody, and it was, oh, God love her, and her and her husband had booked this for her friends, and I was like, no harm, you know, if you can afford to book a villa for 27 people with flights, stop your fucking whinging neck.
Yeah, let's think about the proper working class people who have to earn trips. I missed my brother's stag do.
Oh, never.
We were supposed to go to Newcastle upon Tyne and forget and probably remember none of it. And then
maybe,
our trip
so
to,
maybe you did go.
Maybe you did. Fuck, maybe money back. I need to go check my credit card statement to see if I was in a strip.
To see where you are. When was that?
It was supposed to be end of March, and then the wedding was supposed to be July, but it's moved to next year.
See, I wonder about everyone that's moved their weddings a year. Like you know, could you change your mind? Say you were, you know, say you were having sort of second thoughts, and this kicked in, and you sort of go, "All right, fucking burn it. We'll cancel it all together, and then I'll just when I'm allowed outside again, I'll just fucking leave her."
What happened? I mean, they showed that the statistics. Sorry,
I can't say a word either. Or
very hard word for somebody from where I'm from. The statistics were something like 88 divorces the day after they were allowed out of the house in China. So that's a few here as well.
But divorce lawyers are going to make a killing. Divorce lawyers, fucking hairdressers and barbers, and people that do waxing are going to make a fucking fortune at the end of it.
Yeah. Did you get a home haircut? I've avoided it thus far, but I am.
No, I didn't do what I call it. Yeah. Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah, I know.
You look like Dumb and Dumber.
I've actually grown through that phase. I went from Lego Man to Dumb and Dumber, and now we're just pretty much back to teenage Darren. There we go.
See, I thought what I would do is I thought this is the perfect opportunity to grow my hair long again, and. So she just was like, no chance. No, she did. She cut me. I didn't go for the full shave, but she done like a cut the number two and blended and all the rest. But like, she's not doing enough job.
That's right.
So, no, got the home haircut, but avoided the shaving thing. But I says what I called when it started. I would write, I'm not shaving the whole of this. I'm not shaving. Lasted a week.
Yeah, itchy.
It's lasted a week. What the hell is this? Look at. Plus, she wouldn't come near me because I had it. So I took that off. But no one, I haven't done the heads. If I'm watching people shaving their heads, I'm going, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I shaved the other day basically out of boredom. I can do beard or, but I look fucking, see, especially now with the long hair and the no beard, I look about 12. Look, dimples.
There's nothing wrong with that. I'm turning 40 in July. I'd love to look 12.
Happy enough. But, that's one of the jokes I put up. There you go. I have actually written something. One of the jokes I put up on Facebook was like, there's going to be two looks coming out of this. I said, you're either going to look like a loyalist paramilitary or a blanket man.
I've seen that one.
Yeah.
I've seen that one.
People's either.
But that's the thing that you have written. So there you go. Keep that for when you go back.
Yeah. People, but I don't want to be coming back out and only talking about this because there's going to be 400 Edinburgh shows.
Based on it, I know what you mean. I think it's one of the things when you go back, you'll have to mention it. Like you'll have to have something on it, but you wouldn't blitz in with a 20-minute set on it. Like, you know what I mean? one or two wee lanes. It was like, I'd done a gig one time in Celtic Park, and it was an after dinner thing. There was players and management and supporters and all that. And I had to do half an hour. And I remember thinking to myself, I could jump up here and do half an hour of Celtic material. And I went, no, I'll open with 5 minutes of Celtic material. I'll do 20 minutes, you know, with Sligo and Rangers. I'll do 20 minutes of just standard material and then finish, you know, maybe a minute or two of Celtic stuff. And that's what I've done. And I remember afterwards, apparently they had a very famous comedian who won that name the year before. And he says he just got up and tried to talk about Celtic for half an hour and people got bored after 10 minutes. You know what I mean? And I say, if anyone goes out after this and has 30 minutes of pandemic material, I wouldn't listen to it. Like, but I think one or two wee lanes in there.
Yeah.
Like that one, I would definitely keep that one. That lane definitely deserves to get on a stage.
Yeah. Well, I'll see. I probably should get a haircut myself first, but we'll see.
I've got a gig in, when is it? I have to book a gig for September the 19th, if you fancy it.
That's a couple of days after my birthday. I'm up for that. Yeah, let's go.
it's Trish's actual birthday.
Oh, class. So you're not allowed to go?
No, I'm going. It's a Saturday night one. It's already caught up. But that's the thing, though. You don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, there's that.
You know what I mean?
I was just going to lead on to the next point I wanted to talk to you about, which was future gigs. How do we know? Like, I run two clubs. You run a fucking club. When can we go again?
It's like, because I mean, I've one in September and then I've dates for November and December. It's all cool rain, like, it's all up in the river, say.
Right.
And I was sitting the other night, I was chatting to Therese Livingston the other night. And I wanted to say to her, listen, I have a date in November, do you fancy it? But I'm scared to even book people for it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know what I mean? But I don't know, because I mean, I can say to you now, right, September 19th, if it happens, we'll do it. If it doesn't, sure, what the hell. But I don't know, I just feel bad saying to someone, here, do you want to do this gig of mine? And I don't know why. And I think if anyone rung me and says, Terry, I have a gig that day, I'd be like, do ye?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I'm sitting even, what I call it, even going out opening for Jake next year. It's like, is that going to happen?
It starts in January, doesn't it?
It's January time. I mean, only starts sort of the week between Christmas Day and New Year's Day with Cram 4 in there, and then January is just flat out straight through to February. And the thing is as well, man, you got to wonder, are people gonna go to gigs?
This is my main fear. I was just like, because I think we're probably quite down the pecking order of things people want to do. I mean, comedy is a luxury and it's a brilliant thing we get to do it, but people are going to want to go for a bit of dinner. They're going to want to go to the pub, but are they going to go? You know what I mean? They'll be like, well, fuck, I'm used to drinking in the house now. I don't need to go to the pub. But I would just love a proper poured pint of Guinness. You know what I mean? Like, same as you. You need the Beer 52, but there's certain things you need an experience of, which is a lovely pint. I'm not going to go to a pub and drink a bottle that I can have at home. I want a pint.
I'd love a pint of Guinness, man. Because that's my radar. That's my radar. It's just like, right, do you need anything? Just have a pint of Guinness for me when I come off.
Yep.
That's all I ask for. And even to me, even that's being a bit thievish, you know what I mean? But no, I come off pink, brilliant. But no, I just ask the God, it's like, I'm just wondering, as you say, will people come in to see comedy? Although, you know, you say people are going, right, we'll go to that, we need a laugh. But I don't know. I'm just, and then should I say the social distancing thing will be in for you, but you'll only be able to, not that I have to worry about it. I mean, let's be honest, I could probably still do a gig and get away with it. You're still allowed
gatherings.
No, you're still allowed gatherings of two people. I'd be laughing.
It's your Edinburgh run from 4 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, no. But that's the thing. Like, are you going to have every second seat? Is it going to be, you know, it's harder than what it's going to be like.
I know. The problem is, my two venues are only 50 seaters anyway. I like, the reason they work is because they're so fucking packed in. So I'm like, I don't know.
You're better having a full small room than a half empty big room. Like.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So, but then it's, I don't know, man. I don't know. Well, if that's what I was going to say to you, when have you any for coming? So you don't know.
I don't have any. And I'm not going to, do you know what, as well? I'm not going to be the government. I'm not going to try and make a few pound that's going to fucking endanger people. That's just.
No chance. No,
that's short term gain over a long term goal. Like, so.
So now the only reason I have that September, November, December one, those were dates we agreed those dates in February. So that's the only reason MTS is there. And we don't want to move them in case we can't go ahead with it. You know what I mean? And then what I was thinking of doing for them is, if they do go ahead, and if we are back at a place where we get people in, is just ringing every comedian I know and going, do you want 10 minutes?
Yeah, I'm going to do that. Just stack my lineups and get everybody back on stage and get everybody.
You know what I mean? So just give everybody, there you go, lads. There's a stage. You haven't had one in months. Go do your thing for 10 minutes. Like, even if it's 10, 12, you know what I mean? And just go flat out at it. Because we're going to need it. We are. Oh, man, it's going to be weird.
Yeah, it's going to be strange enough to get back into fucking doing it, but I'm looking forward to it.
The MC will have to go out with an alcohol wipe for the mic between every act.
Yeah. And please give it up for your next act.
Walking out, they're going to shake your hand, get the fuck away from me.
Yeah, yeah, bump elbows.
I don't know where you've been.
Yeah, no, it'll be weird and interesting. But I mean, I'm like, my normal people job, I'm furloughed off, and also I'm a fucking asthmatic, so it's probably best I'm not working.
I'm working from home, which is just, it's because, like, when, as you say, working a shop, you need stock and customers, and I haven't had a delivery in 6 weeks, and thankfully the customers don't know where I live, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we're sort of, what they're doing with us is we're sort of upskilling, so we're doing like training stuff, so like it's like online classrooms where the trainer's delivering the training to us, and then we're sort of training our guys, and you know, there's, you have conference calls and video calls every other day and everything. And like, I think I'm busier at home at the minute working than I was when I was in the shop.
I feel like as well, a lot of companies don't want to feel like they're letting you away with it.
Well, you see, that's the thing, man, because there was one day I was sitting here and they gave us a bunch of stuff to do, and I had done by 1 o'clock, and it was a Friday. I was going, right, what do you do? Because like, I'm 9 to 5, like, I'm sitting going, what do you do? And I started to feel guilty that I was sitting doing that. So I rang a boss, I was chatting to her for about half an hour, and like, no work talk, we're just chatting shit. But in my head, I was like, right, well, I'm talking to the boss here, so that's right, I'm doing something. And I ended up saying, I was like, here, can I have a beer? It's just like, Terry, you're in your own house, you're near 40, if you want a beer, have a beer.
Yeah, I know, I said that to somebody the other day. I worry that I may only have become a comedian because I finally found a job that I can do while I'm drinking.
But then our Craig came on to us and said to us, like, I mean, we were talking, it was all the directors was on Russell the other day, and he was saying, like, he says, don't feel guilty about that. Don't, he says, you're sitting and you're doing nothing. He says, if you go for a walk for an hour, you know, at 1 o'clock and you do nothing, you leave the work phone in the house. He says, don't feel guilty about that. He says, because we're all trying to figure this out. And then that's the other thing he was saying. He says, like, I mean, he says, if you want to do your work at 9 o'clock in the evening, he says, do it at 9 o'clock in the evening. He says, you know, there's no right or wrong yet, as long as you're getting the stuff done.
Right.
But that.
I was going to say, well, no, finish your story and then I have two definite questions for you.
I was going to say, definitely. I've been busier here in the house than I have been in the shop. Probably shouldn't be saying that at a public forum.
It's okay, I have literally dozens of listeners. What was I going to say? Yeah, well, then we'll get, you know, I actually wanted to open the podcast with a joke about this when I said, you know, you might recognize Terry from O2 and Oma. But obviously, last time I got a fucking phone, you sorted me out. So new Huawei or new Samsung? What am I getting in the summer?
Come down and see. Because you were meant to come down just before this happened.
Yeah.
God's sake. I'm thinking of the money. Right? Every time you're on me though, I'm gonna come down the shop. Nah, I'm off. I'm on my day off. I'm sorry, darn. I'm gonna have you leave. I was starting to think that boy's gonna get a complex. It's like I'm avoiding them.
I know, it was always just my day offs were different because I was working as well. But
there's the new P40's coming out. Have you seen that?
I have, that's the one I was eyeing up. So
I don't
know how to use it.
The camera on that is unbelievable. And it does a thing, there's a thing in it where you can take a photograph and then you can like remove another person from it. Right, so say you go away on holiday and you take a lovely photograph, say you're away with your one, and you take a lovely photograph at a lovely place, right, and then 6 months later you split up with her, you'd be able to go into that photograph, just take her out and still be in the lovely place.
I was going to say, that technology is several years too late for me. I've got some great photos from around the world, and I'm like, need you not to be
here. I can get a laugh back. I have wedding photos of people I'd like to take out of them.
Yeah, yeah. I'm only joking. I deleted those photos years ago. But
but that one, Pete, the Samsung's pretty decent as well, actually.
Have you...
I'm on an iPhone now, for Christ's sake.
Are you a sort of... well, I mean, the Huawei thing I enjoy as well, because somebody said to me, are you not worried about like the Chinese government spying on you? And I was like, if the Chinese government are spying on me, I hope they really like Gaelic football and weird porn.
Because we've once in the shop going, well, what about them Huawei's or Huawei's or whatever they call them? They go, oh, no, they're a good phone. If the Chinese are spying on you, and you're sitting going, no harm in it, but you live in Berra. Yeah. Trust me, the Chinese do not care about you.
You are not that interesting.
But the other thing I say to people as well is that Donald Trump is telling me not to buy it. As far as I'm concerned, that's the best reason to buy it.
Fair enough. I'll deal with that. Although, he's, what was the other thing? Are you sort of like a tech support role now? Do you have a work phone? Do people phone the shop?
No, some of the guys went into that there. But you see, what I done was, because like, do you remember what? It was only a year and a half ago I didn't have broadband or mobile phone reception out here. Like, so as far as work's concerned, that's still the way it is. Just saying that. But I just put on the social media and I'm like, look, if your phone's giving you shit, give me a shout back, you know what I mean? Because it is, I mean, like, our Chris Brower, he's living in the flat in his own, and he won't go up to my maz. I've told him down here to stay with us, and he just won't do it. Like, and he'd be one of the higher risk vulnerable to people. Like, but that's how I'm saying him. If his phone packs in or gives him any chip, that's him. He's completely isolated. Like,
yeah, true.
So I just made a point of putting out there. Listen, I know this. Well, I say I know this stuff inside out and back the front. Like, I mean, Jesus Christ, I couldn't even get logged onto this. So I just put it out there. If anyone needs anything, give me a shout. But no, it's with no sort of official tech support role. But we're all doing it. Like, I knock on the door the other day, and there's a guy standing there, and he says, I'm really sorry for being here. He says, but this is my father's phone. He somehow managed to block me and my sister from ringing him. Can you fix it? You know what I mean? And I was like, I know, Park. And I was just thinking to myself, maybe your father wanted to block you.
Yeah, yeah. this is him telling you you're out of the will.
We get people in all the time. Oh, I can't ring my friend, send you in the front. You blocked their number. Oh, how did I do that? You found out we're fucking doing.
Yeah.
So unblock his phone, hand him his phone back, sent him on his merry way. So there's still a wee bit of that. Went to the shop the other day, and I was like, girl, she stopped me, and she was looking at me, and I says, you're it. And she goes, are you? And in my head, I'm going, please say Terry McHugh, the comedian. Nah. Yeah. You the fella from the phone shop that tells jokes. It's like, that's me. I was like, oh, the problem with phones, took her phone out again, sorted it for her. Like, you don't need to do it.
I was just really hoping you were going to say you'd gone into some sort of tech support role, because I want to hear the stories about the networks being phoned up and people asking about these 5G masts. It's got to be happening.
Oh, man. Because that all kicked just before, or just after we closed, just after the shop closed. And I know that I know we're going to have people in. Sure, what do you call, even when the 3G masts went up, sure, they cut them down around here.
Did they?
Aye, by golly. That's... I worked for Carphone at the time, and I had a boy come in one day. He was giving out stink, like giving out yards. He was on Orange. That's how long ago was this? And he was going, I have no reception where I live. It's a fucking disgrace, and I'm paying fucking blah 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 off on one. And I said, Mrs. Well, where do you live? And he was Ballygolly. And I says, well, is anybody wondering? You have no fucking reception. She just keep cutting the masts down. And he goes, well, I don't want none of them fucking things near me. And you're like, mate, that's there. You go, like. Have no reception, but they'll be putting one of their masks over there.
So these two things are exclusively linked, you fuckhead.
So that was a 3G mask. When 4G kicked, we had a load of people coming in this town that was interfering with their Sky and their TV reception. You're saying, God, it really doesn't. Like, no, it does. Ever since it went up, it's like, no, it really, really doesn't. So I haven't had the 5G one yet, but I'd say when we go back, we'll get it back.
If you want a good laugh, and hopefully I don't out myself, but I joined Mast Watch Ireland on Facebook. It's phenomenal. I might get a new show out of it. Check it out. postings are brilliant.
Must watch Ireland.
Must watch Ireland. People are like, I live in Waterford and they put this box up a week ago and I've been having awful headaches ever since. And I was just like, right then.
It's the birds dropping out of the sky. It's like, I love them.
Yeah. Because obviously, like, obviously birds are the Highlander. They're immortal unless you cut their fucking head off.
I was like, was one guy had a photograph of a dead duck. He pulled up the road and there was a dead duck on the road and it had clearly been hit by a fucking bus, right? But he's sitting there going, oh my God, this is so strange. And then some other woman pulled up and was like, what are you doing? And he went, oh, it's just dead duck, it's so strange. They put one of their 5G masks up there. And you're like, mate, unless that 5G mask hit that thing at 60 miles an hour, it'd fuck all the doer.
Yeah, unless it's zapping birds like fucking Thor with his hammer, just...
The thing is, though, you see, because I'm a dick, and I get told a lot of times I come out with stuff to customers in the shop, and they laugh, but the boss is looking over at me, and she's laughing, but she's giving me that look of, Terry, how did you get away with that one? Like, you know what I mean? And she slags me, like, keeps me going, it's just one of these days you're not going to get away with it. But like, people are going to come in and ask me about 5G, and I'm going to be so tempted just to fill their heads. Like, someone called me one time, the network was down. And he goes, the network's down, of no reception. I was, aye, mate. This is the phalange clashed with the gigaflop, and now the whole thing's wrecked. And he went, right, okay. He says, and when do you think they're going to have that fixed? I says, well, the gigaflops, it's the hardest thing for them to get on, but they're working on it. Like, and he was like, right, no bar, the way he went. I'm stitches going up boy's way home to tell his wife that the gigaflops are fucked.
Did he try to turn it off and turn it back on again?
That's another classic. I love doing that. People give me a phone, you turn it off and turn it on. Because that's the first thing I do. I'm telling you, man, like, a lot of the time it works.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people, fixed it.
Fixed it. And then they go, what did you do?
Like, well, if you imagine, you're like, you've left this thing on 24 hours a day, fucking 8 days a week. It's going to get a wee bit tired and slow sometimes.
But that's not what you're telling. That's not what you tell them. You go, oh, well, what I had to do was, there's a wee thing in the settings there, and you make out like you've done this most random, wonderful thing. You never tell them you just switched it on and off.
Yeah.
Because I thought you tell them that, they go, could have fucking done that myself. Like, well, you didn't.
Yeah. And you're like, well, you're here now, and it's fixed, so fucking calm yourself.
But there is times we fix stuff for people to go, well, what did you do? And I'm going, I'm not telling you. And it's because if I tell you how I fixed it, it means you know how to break it again. So just take your phone and I'll see you later.
Yeah, you will just unclick the box I've clicked in the settings, leave it alone.
Exactly. Yep. It's like the less you know about this, the better it is for everyone involved.
Leave it be or I'll have to fucking find it.
So you know, I'm looking forward to getting back that as well. You know what I mean? I think I just miss seeing people.
Yeah, well, I got offered to go back to work, but it would have been no customers, but probably 100 delivery drivers a day. And I was thinking, you're going to every house in Belfast, and I'm fucking asthmatic, so maybe this is a bad idea.
But see, that's the thing, because like I have a lung condition, and I've had too many strokes, like, and I didn't get a letter to say that I was vulnerable or should be shielding.
Do you know why? Because you live so rural, they didn't know your fucking address. That's why.
Yeah, it's just like, don't worry, he's not going to fucking... He doesn't fucking see anybody normally. We don't need to send him a letter. Did you get one?
Nope, didn't get one.
See, my mate got one. He's asthma and he got one.
My ma didn't get one either, and she's got way worse asthma than me.
My ma didn't get one, and my ma has had 3 major strokes, and I got 6 mini strokes and a heart attack she didn't even know about. And the woman didn't get a letter. My dad got one, because he's diabetes.
Do you know why they didn't send your ma one as well? Because she's clearly hard as the fucking road.
It's just that woman's built in.
Worried about that woman.
Well, I didn't get a shield letter, but no, man, I would love to go back to work. I miss seeing people. I just miss seeing people, chat to people. You know what I mean? And the Zoom thing's all right. Everyone says, oh, you can do video calls, but it's not the same. It's not the same as... Because that's how I was saying, one of the shows I've done is I miss sitting with my best mate talking crap. And I've sat talking crap with my best mate during this, like, you know what I mean? It's just not the same sitting in the same room as them, just having a cup of tea and chatting shape.
My main worry about using the Zoom thing is, obviously, you know, must do's a great master, so we have still to be able to generate podcasts. If it's not me talking to myself, I have to do it on Zoom. My main worry is that people, believe it or not, actually listen to this in different parts of the world. So if there's one thing that's going to make an accent even harder to listen to, it's distortion of vocal. And I'm like, I'm going to go talk to him about Terry. He's from North Belfast. Nice, easy to understand accent.
Good luck if you're listening to this in Australia.
I know, I know. The word's slagging. Yeah.
I was slagging the bollocks of him. I'm not sure what he just said.
Yeah, yeah. But it sounds sexual, and that's worrying. Yeah. No, it'll be all right. Speaking of turning things on and off, I'm going to turn this podcast off. But before you go, give us your where do we find you, your Twitters and your Bebos and all that.
My Twitter's Terry McHugh.
Easy enough.
Aye, but there's an underscore in there somewhere.
I'm going to say it's between your fucking first name and your second name, yeah?
No, it might be between the AMC and then the HUGH, but...
Jesus, Terry, what are you doing?
Darren, when I set all this stuff up, you know what I'm like? I don't like social media and all that stuff. I use it, but I hate using it. So when I set it all up, it didn't exactly make it easy for people to find.
I found you. Terry MC underscore Hugh.
You see, that's not where the underscore should be.
No. Yeah, so T-E-R-R-Y-M-C underscore H-U-G-H. Terry McHugh.
What was I thinking? And then I've got Terry McHugh Comedy. That's my Facebook page.
Easy. That's not too bad.
Yes, there's good stuff on there. There is good stuff on the Facebook page. Okay. And you can watch the live shows I've done from the house on there. There's the lopper.
I want to check out a bit of Terry stuff before you go see him. Watch that. Are you going to do another tour next year? You have to do Jake's tour and then hit yours again?
I'll be Jake's tour. If Jake has me, I'll be on Jake's tour. That's the one thing. I never take that tour for granted. So I don't, every year when the dates come out, I'm just waiting for the phone call and I go, right, are you coming? Like, don't get me wrong, he's told me the gig's mine, but I'm always waiting for that phone call. Because you know, like when you get to know me, you realise I'm a dick, so then you're just going to go, I'm not booking him for this anymore. But no, Jake's tour, and then my own tour, yes. I need to get writing. I need to get writing, but I think I need to stop beating myself up that I'm not writing.
Yeah, I would be onto that sort of train as well of don't be panicking if you're doing nothing, because sometimes it's just nice to get out the fucking side of this and we'll be dead on.
Somebody pointed out to me, I was talking to somebody the other night, and says, Mrs. Terry, do you remember when you were sitting in a room and you said that you would love to just hit the pause button on your life for a couple of months? And I went, aye. She goes, well, you fucking did it, didn't you? The thing about not writing though is, darn, like, I went back and dug out a whole bunch of old stuff there recently, and sometimes you dig out an old bit that was 5 minutes and you look at it again and, you know, you haven't done it in 5 years and with a new set of eyes on it, you can end off 10, 15 minutes out of it. So yeah. Wee bits and pieces like that, Nick, you know what I mean? But no, hopefully, yes, I'll be away on tour again next year.
That's not too bad. So everybody, keep an eye for Terry and you'll be able to find him on his respective socials. I don't really have that problem as well, obviously, because I'm still doing bits I was doing 5 years ago. So,
so was I, but I done a joke not that long ago. You were there, and it was the joke I done the first gig I ever done, which was 8 years ago.
Yeah, you're just like...
smoking mirrors, darn. Smoking mirrors, you know yourself.
I'm not too bad. I saw an interview where Jerry Seinfeld said he still does a bit that's over 10 years old, and I was like, boom!
Yes, if it's good enough for Jerry, it's good enough for me.
Still got it. He's a billionaire. What would he know?
he's a new special coming out on Netflix.
There you go, something else to look forward to. So, a good one. Under this one, if you firing your comedy fucking recommendations, because I haven't been really even watching anything. I'm just completely zoned out.
That's the thing. I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, see, come the end of the day, I couldn't tell you what I've done. You know what I mean? And anything Bill Burr on Netflix, watch it. If you can get your hands on Jerry Seinfeld, Comedian.
Yeah.
I think it might even be on Netflix. It is just, it's amazing. It's brilliant. It's basically him. He retires all his material and he's going out and trying to get a new set to get a new show done. And he tries to take this wee comedian under his wing and all, but he's a dick. And it's brilliant, so watch that. And that's the call. That's all I can come up with right now. Because I haven't even looked at Netflix. There's a mountain new specials on there I haven't even seen. Oh, everybody, every single person everywhere in the world should listen to what do you call him, Mike Birbiglia, Sleepwalk With Me.
Okay,
it's, you'll get it on, he hasn't recorded video, but it's on like your Google Plays and your Spotify's and all the rest. It is, I would go so far as to say, one of the best hours and a bit of comedy I've ever listened to.
Okay,
write it down. Listen, I was listening at one night. I was painting the skirting boards in the what I call the bedroom, and I was lying on face down in fits of laughter. Trisha walked in the room, she thought the pain fumes had got to me. It's Viper Bigley a sleepwalk with me. It is brilliant.
Sweet. Sleepwalk with me, that's Twin Peaks, isn't it? Is that what that's from?
I don't know.
Firewalk, that's a different one. Okay, right. Terry, thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Mr. Matthews.
No problem. Folks, if you've enjoyed this episode, like, share, subscribe, and tell your ma, because she thinks I'm fucking a lovely wee fella. And Terry, I will see you at a gig soon, okay, buddy?
You will. You definitely will be.
All right, rock and roll. Look after yourself. Listen to Guns N' Roses and drink Tins of Guinness. See you later, buddy.
Great plan. See you later, mate.